Accession number 10012, reel number 11.
Mr. Clayton, reel 11. You were telling me about how you'd improved the dugouts and how you once had someone made a back burner.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. Well, there was always, well, there was smashed up hoses, you know. You could always get a good few bricks. And then I dare say some of the fire bars came from some of these broken up hoses that had been smashed up with shell fire. And then he was able to construct a fireplace. And he got a boiler at the back and it heated water. And we used to get hot water out of that boiler for to do a shaving with. And take it to officers as well. They would wash themselves in hot water sometimes. If you got up early enough to get the fire lit, to get it heated for it was time for breakfast.
Did you have any trouble keeping the officer's uniform, you know, the buttons and everything clean and smart in trench
conditions? Well, there was a, what was to call that place? I think it was Amiens, was it? That was, and then I think there was a, an expeditionary force canteen there. Expeditionary force canteen that would be sent from some of the forces' headquarters. And there was a soldier's friend, that was what he used to polish your buttons with. And there was all razors and razor blades and things that you wanted to do, you could get at this expeditionary force canteen. It was behind the lines, but in our company, there was a late car. See, cars weren't as frequent as what they are nowadays, but maybe an officer would go with him, and maybe one of his servants as well. And this late car would go to the Expeditionary Force canteen. And then the officers used to contribute to the mess funds. There was I think it used to pay us monthly. And it had to be paid out of the money that they were receiving from the mess funds, you know. And that was in addition to the rations. They still got the army rations, but they were able to buy things at this expeditionary force that you didn't get through the ordinary rations, you know. So you could get tin fruit. You could buy that at the expeditionary force canteens. And you could get a bottle of whiskey, three-gill Johnny Walker bottle, or half a corner bottle.
And that would be for the officers?
Oh, my God, I had 6 guineas a bottle now. Yes, yes. I am.
Do you think the officers had a more comfortable life than you did?
Oh, I would say so. Yes, they were waited on and got a good breakfast. They got 3 meals a day. There was breakfast and then lunch and then dinner. 3 meals a day they got. But the lunch was like a semi-dinner, you know. And then the dinner was sometimes we got some frozen meat, you know. That was the roast. We were able to roast it. Sometimes get an oil drum that was cleaned out. That was a good thing. And then get them laid down in a fire underneath that, and you could roast that meat in an oil drum. And, well, used to get that, and the potatoes and turnip. We were able to go, when we were out of the lands, we were able to visit farms. And some of the farms would sell you, more than 100 weight the bags used to be. They would sell you a bag, and that had to be paid for with the mess funds. And that was your potatoes, and then you could get turnips as well there, you know. And that all helped to make your dinner. If you got your potatoes and turnip and some roast meat, well, that was usually the officer's dinner.
Would you get any of it?
Eh?
Would you be able to put any aside for yourself?
Could we decide for ourselves?
Would you be able to put any aside for yourself, you know, so that you got some of the... When you got something nice?
Aye, we used to look after the home. We used to call that the home team. Oh, yes, we looked after the home team as well. Of course, it doesn't make any matter now. It doesn't matter about tails now. It's too long ago. Yes, oh, yes.
Now, you told me earlier that you used to sometimes act as the mess orderly. When they had a mess, probably mostly out of the line, you used to act as mess orderly, you know, serving in the mess.
I've done that job. Waiters on them. We put there was a white linen tablecloth put on their table. Even in the lines, where the dugout was maybe a good size. Oh, yes, and that used to be, well, we used to, when we got out the lands, that would be taken with us, them table covers. And then when we came to some civilian houses, that would be usually, they started about 10 miles behind the lands. You'd find the civilians had still, a lot of them had still stayed there. But you used to take this linen in your own shirts as well, and the officer's shirts and underclothing. And they would wash it for you. They made a charge, you know. They charge you so many francs for doing the washing. But that's how we... And then when you weren't able to get served that way, you used to wash them yourselves and make an improvised clothesline, something like what we saw is out the back here, and put the... wash it and hang it up to dry. That's how you did it, yes. And I may tell you, if you had worn a shirt in the line, if you didn't get it changed, if you went a fortnight without a change of underclothing, you got lousy.
And you told me about the lice, yes.
Oh, yes. And it was no joke getting really lousy. And even the officers, they used to take the shirts off, turn them inside out, and you would see these little white lights, and they're usually bedded into where the seams, you know, where one part of the cloth joined onto another. They would dig in there, and they used to crack them between them. Yes, and it was no joke.
How did the officers used to behave in the mess, both in and out of the line?
Well, there were some of them really gentlemen, some of them a lot of idiots as well. I think they used to... well, go have balmy after dinner at night. That was a time when they used to drink the whiskey, you know. Yes. And...
what would they do?
Eh?
What sort of things would they do, this balmy?
Well, I don't know what they'd do to do, but I didn't join in with them. But many times, a terrible row among. Yes. And...
You don't remember the sort of games they were playing?
Whiskey was on the go. That was the favourite tipple out there, Johnny Walker whiskey. And they could get that at the Expeditionary Force canteens for half a corner bottle at that time.
Did they get drunk much?
Oh, yes, some of them got drunk. Oh, yes, that's none of them drunk. Some of them would have put to bed. They were that drunk. They couldn't get in themselves. Yes.
Did it ever affect their efficiency? I mean, when they had to be put to bed, would they be able to work properly next day?
Well, it was mainly, their work was mainly when they were in the trenches.
They wouldn't do it then?
You see, you got out the trenches. When we first went out, before we got sent back to the billet, we were there for a month. And a month, I may tell you, was a long time, but there wasn't a number of men out. Well, as we got more reinforcements in, you know, and there was more troops to fill the line, where we had to stop a month before we got out, they reduced it to 3 weeks. And then after about another 6 months, they reduced it to a fortnight. A fortnight in and a fortnight out. And then it came down to he only had 7 days in and 7 days out. But
would the officers ever drink when they were in the line?
Well, I can't say that I could not. Oh, yes, but I couldn't say that I ever saw one that was for drinking. They used to drink mainly when they got back to the barracks, to the billet, you know. That was about 10 miles behind the line. That was where our billet was.
Did you like being an officer's servant? Was it better than being in the line, in a tunneler?
Well, I would say so. It had advantages.
What would you say the advantages were?
Well, you would, if you were friends with a cook for the officers, you could get fed the same as they were. That was one advantage. And, you got your tunneler's pay, and each officer was supposed to pay so much to his servant. And once a month, I forget how much my officer used to give me, but it would be around about 15 or 16 shillings I used to get a month. But that was in francs, you know, but equivalent to that. He used to give us that. And he was paid. So much of his pay was for to pay his batman with as well, you know.
How did you get on with Warnock?
Oh, well, he was a good officer. Yes, he was a fine chap. He was a surveyor. And he surveyed did a lot of surveying for the Hood Chateau and got right under that. And he's a good surveyor and a good officer. Yes.
Did he treat you well?
Oh, yes, he treated me well. Oh, yes. I had to make his bed and get hot water for him to shave with and take his shirts and socks and pants to get washed, you know, when they're becoming dirty. And if there wasn't any civilians handy to do that job, we had to do it. And, when you got a French madam to do the washing, she made a charge for it, you know. And we used to get it to make a bill out, or we made a bill out and got it to understand we wanted to know how much each article was. Where the hand hook, that was the handkerchief, and the pantolons was the linings, as we call them, or pajamas. And the officers, a lot of them had pajamas, and used to sleep in them, you know. But that's the way we dealt with that lot, yes.
They started being a servant in 1917. How long did you do it? Was that right until you were wounded? You were a servant, officer's servant?
Oh, yes, it's quite right. I think that'll be about the time. Well, it was 1918 when I was wounded.
Do you remember anything that happened between Messines, particularly between Messines and when you were wounded? Messines was in 1917. Was there anything else you remember about 1917 besides being an orderly? Or Batman, sorry.
Well, when I was wounded, we were on road construction. We were constructing a road, going up into the Ypres salient.
Now, Now, how come you were doing that if you were an officer's servant? Would you have to do some jobs like that? You weren't in
charge. Oh, yes, sometimes you had to put your hand in as well, you know, that you didn't always get just looking after him. You had other jobs to do.
It's just that front-line tunnelling you wouldn't be doing, is that right?
Oh, no, we didn't do front-line tunnelling, no.
But if there was something like road building, you'd have to turn
it. Yes, we'd have to put a hand into that, yes.
So, whenabouts in 1918 were you wounded, do you remember?
That's the time of the... when the big explosion was at Messines.
When were you wounded?
Oh, I was wounded. We were constructing a road.
Right.
And there was a shell. Eh?
Tell me about that then. What exactly happened? And when was it?
Well, it was a shell. It would be in, I think that was in June 1918. Yes, June 1918. That's when I was wounded. And I've still got some of that shrapnel inside as yet.
What exactly happened?
It was a burst shell. And there was three of us wounded. There was none of us killed, but we were walking to construct this road, and there were some shells come over the right to where we were walking, and there was one bus near us, and I got a piece, and my hip here, it's still there yet. I was in Shotley Hospital, and when I was in...
How did they evacuate you back? What happened after you'd been wounded?
I was taken to hospital, and I got the blighty over it.
Were you pleased?
Eh?
Were you pleased to be? Were you pleased to get a blighty wound? Did you?
Was I asleep?
No. Were you pleased to get a blighty wound?
Oh my God! Aye, best thing ever happened to me. Well, I got the Boulogne, and I was in there. I was in a field hospital first. And I remember this field hospital, we were in a big marquee. This was behind the lines, you know. And, there was a lot had been operated on. Nearly everybody was lying in there had been operated on. And one after another was coming awake from the anaesthetic, you know. And some was singing. Some were praying, and some were, I don't know what they were doing, what they were shouting about, singing, and you never heard anything like it. There'll be dozens of men, you know, that have been operated on there, and when they're coming awake again, well, some just wakens up as if they're walking out of a sleep, but others are sort of still... semi-conscious, I might say, you know, they're not out of it. And they start to sing. And it had the most curious effect upon me I've ever known. One after another, just lying on stretchers, waking up. And as I say, there was some singing and some praying and some crying. And one after another, it's difficult to describe. I never knew anything like it. Aye.
Had you had to have an operation?
Yes, I'd had an operation, but I think I just woke up normally. Some wakens up after an operation just like coming out of a sleep, but others, they ramble on, you know, they're half conscious and half asleep.
How bad was your wound?
Eh?
How bad was your wound?
Well, I was wounded in here. The shrapnel went in there. And it's around here. That's where
that.
It is now. Well, and then there was a piece went through me arm. I'll maybe let you see that.
The other wound was in your arm, you've just shown me.
Yes.
Now, that's right. Now, where did you go from Boulogne?
Boulogne, I was put on the hospital ship. And I was carried on board with German prisoners. I was a stretcher case, you see, when I came on. And this hospital ship, it was the finest boat. It was owned by the King of Belgium. And it was his yacht. and it was being converted into an hospital ship. And it was beautiful. And there were German prisoners carried us on board. I was a stretcher case, so I was wounded down in the abdomen, you know. And then I got to Blighty. I think we sailed from Calais to Folkestone. I think that's where we sailed from. Or Boulogne, was it? I sailed from Boulogne. And I was carried on board this hospital ship by German prisoners. That's some we'd captured, you know, and that was the work that they were made to do, carry the wounded on board this hospital ship.
Were you treated well on the ship then?
Oh, yes, they fed us well. Oh, my, yes, I remember. Well, from being wounded, with this being a wound where it was, I got nothing to eat. They didn't give us anything to eat when I was in the field hospital. I got nothing there. And I was a lady day or two in Boulogne, in the hospital there. And they gave us nothing to eat there. I could get a drink, but I couldn't get anything to eat. They didn't know how this was going to turn out, do you see? And I think I would almost go a fortnight or 3 weeks without anything to eat. But it didn't do us any harm, I couldn't say, but I got my first meal.
Were you getting liquids?
Eh?
They were giving you liquids, though, I
presume. Oh, yes, yes, you got drinks. I think I'd be drinking some milk, but there was no solid food. And by how I enjoyed the dinner when I got a one.
Where did they put you in England? When you got you landed
I
in
I got Boston. Into what was that place? What Wilson was it? Way Shepherd's Bush, Ealing, and going up that way.
Southall.
Southall. That's where I was in hospital, in Southall, Middlesex. It's in Middlesex. It had been an entertainment hall for the Maypole Margarine Company. There was a big margarine company there called the Maypole Margarine. You never hear tell of it now, but that was the leading margarine at that time, and that's where it was made. And this was an entertainment hall. It was a wood erection, and that was made into a improvised into a military hospital. And now all Blighty cases come over from France, you know, France and Belgium. Yes.
How was your wound progressing? How was it coming along? Because it's quite a bad wound.
Oh, I've never had any trouble with it, no.
But at the time, did it take a long time to get better?
Well, I was in I'll be in hospital, I think, about 3 weeks in Blighty. Then I got to London, and I wasn't a long time in there. I think I would be about a fortnight in hospital there. And the matron says, well, we're going to discharge you from here. And I was in a blue uniform, I think, hospital blues. Well, I had to get rigged out with khaki clothing again, you know. I'd lost all of my khaki clothing after I was wounded. It wasn't taken off, but it was just ripped up here with the scissors, pulled apart, and the same thing with the hole. That's how they stripped me down. They just cut it all off. They gave us a bag of some kind for me valuables. Well, I had a few francs, and I don't know that there was very much else. There may have been... I think it was a French crucifix. And one or two souvenirs I'd picked up out of my pockets, and I'd just put all the... It was in French money then. But I was able to get it changed. I think I had about 50 francs.
You didn't lose anything then?
I couldn't say that I lost anything. No, no. So well, there may have been something in the camp I was in...
Now, they were discharging you from Southall, from the Maypole Entertainment Room. Where were you sent to? Was that when you were sent to Thetford?
I was sent home first, and I was given a new khaki suit. I was in hospital blues then, and he wore a blue suit, all blue, dolly blue it was, colour. And I'll say this about the Londoners, they were very good to the wounded Tommies. If you got onto a tram or a bus, if it was full, oh, sit down here, Tommy, you... A woman or a man would get up, you would sit down here. And he would stand and he gave a seat to you. He recognized you with the blue hospital blues you had on, you know. And they were very good that way indeed.
So you were on your feet again then?
Eh?
You were on your feet again then?
I was on my feet again, yeah. Oh, yes, and, well...
You say they sent you back home for a while before Thetford?
I was sent to Thetford in Norfolk. There was a big command depot, as they called that. There was 3,000 Royal Engineers in that depot. And what they used to do mainly was dig a hole and fill it up again. You had to pass your digging test. That used to take a time that it took you to dig this hole. I think you were told the dimensions that it had to be, and I kind of just remember now. But you had that to dig and fill up. And when you completed that job in a certain length of time, you were eligible to go back to France again. And, well... It was there was a lot of lead slinging. The lot didn't want to go back. I was one that didn't want to go back. I mean, I knew that if I failed that, there was a certain length of time I was going back to France. And to be perfectly frank, I didn't want to go back to France. So I was kept there, I think, for about 4 months. They used to take us out route marches and every day, you know, except Saturday was a Friday and a Sunday was a Friday. You had guard duties to do, but out of a hut there would be one man for guard duty. Well, that mean 29 of you was free, you know. And, well, after you've been there 3 months, you've got a free journey home. And if you can't pay half, I think you could get for half if you applied for a permit and it was granted, you could go home again for a few days, you see, in the return. Yes. All right.
So you were as slow as you could be.
Eh?
You were as slow as you could be in digging these holes.
Oh, yes, I never raced to dig a hole. I knew what it meant. I'd had enough of France. I'd been out there about 2.5 years and was wounded. And I'd seen, well, I did my share of the front line work, you believe me, out in France I did. Yes.
What happened as you stayed in Thetford? You were there about 4 months?
I stayed in Thetford about 4 months.
That must be getting close to the end of the war.
And I hadn't progressed. Well, to tell you the truth, I was slinging the lead. And if you know what that means. And, well, we had to go to a medical board. And they marked us for a discharge center. When they had the records how far I'd progressed with this digging. And it was... I hadn't very good marks, so they decided that I would have to go to this command depot, and that was in Thetford. And
I thought that was at Thetford where you had the tests.
Eh?
I thought it was at Thetford that you'd been doing this.
Oh, yes, in Thetford, yes. That's in Norfolk. And...
Was it at Thetford you were doing the digging tests?
Yes, in Thetford, the digging.
So where were they going to send you from there?
Well, they sent us there to a place called Sutton. It's in south of London, and that was where I was discharged from.
And what month were you discharged?
I think it was June 1918. June. The war finished, not a great long, the war finished in September.
So you'd have been wounded round about January?
Yes. That was the time.
What happened when you got to Sutton then, to be discharged?
In front of a medical board. And to tell you the truth, I had no hopes of being discharged at all. And there was two fellas. There was one, a fella called Donoghue. He was a football player for Hamilton Academicals. Well, he got a civilian suit posted to him. And so did his mate. Well, they were certain that they were going to get home. But they failed on a medical test. They had to go back to the unit. And me, I thought I would be sent back because I felt fit and looked well. But however, I was discharged. And then I had to go to Sutton to get me discharge papers.
Did they say why you were discharged?
Eh?
Did they say why they were discharged?